This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. The recently renamed Nancy and David Wolfe Holocaust and Humanity Center hosted its grand opening at Cincinnati's Union Terminal last month. It features 7,500 square feet of exhibit space dedicated to using the lessons of the Holocaust to inspire action today. The museum features the world's first humanity gallery housed in a Holocaust museum. Joining us today to talk about that and more, Center Executive Director Sarah Weiss. Thank you, Sarah, for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
Director of Education, Jody Elowitz. Thanks for coming, Jody.
Thank you for having me.
And we're joined on the phone by the Holocaust Museum's conceptual designer, Eddie Jacobs. He's a partner at Barenbaum Jacobs Associates. Eddie, thanks for being with us today.
Pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me by phone.
If you have questions or comments about the exhibit, or if you've seen the exhibit, give us a call. 513-419-7100. You can also email talk@wvxu.org or look us up on Facebook or Twitter. We'll be looking for your comments and your tweets, some of which may be able to be shared on the show today. So let's get started. The Nancy and David Wolfe Holocaust and Humanity Center exists to ensure the lessons of the Holocaust inspire action today. That's the message on the homepage of the center's website. What does that mean to you, Sarah?
So it's really the message that the survivors gave us. So we were founded by survivors who came to the greater Cincinnati community. And when they founded the center, they said to us and to those around at the time that they wanted to ensure that both their stories and memories and history would be preserved. But it was equally important to them that their experiences be used as a warning for the future. And so we got our sort of mission from them, and their vision was that the center would be a place to not only teach what happened in the past, but to challenge us to think about the present and the future as well.
And Jody, you're the director of education. How do you implement that strategy into the programs that you help administer?
Well, everything we do is based on that mission. We use the lesson of the Holocaust to talk about roles that people played, choices that people made back then, and then let students know that there's nothing that you could have done back. You can't go back in time, but you certainly can be inspired by what happened and apply it to your own life in the world today. And that's how we set up the galleries, too. The Holocaust Gallery, we talk about the lessons that can be learned from that. And then when you go into the Humanity Gallery, we're really having people, the visitor, consider like the steps that they can take in today's world.
So those lessons that could inspire action today or that should inspire action today, do you see where those lessons need to be most taught locally or nationally? Are there any issues where you think that these are most relevant?
I think there are many issues, and I think any of us could chime in from various perspectives. I think we see an enormous amount of hate speech, hate in our conversations, not only anti-Semitism and racism and other issues, but just a lack of an inability of dialogue and conversation. So I think that's a place, one example of relevance today. I think we also see injustice around us. We see modern day genocides. I mean, there are many issues, whether we're talking locally, nationally, or internationally, where I think reflecting on the past can help us think about today.
And we always want to make connections to history, and we don't have to. People get it, right? People can see the connections, and it just what we're goal. Our goal is to have people think critically about what choices they make, how they react to things in the world, and that you know to think about what they're doing and how they can take action to stand up against some of these injustices in our own world and in their own communities.
So you have this new installation, this new exhibit at your center in your new space at Union Terminal. And I'm going to bring Eddie in momentarily to talk about that and some of the work that went into it. But first, so the Nancy and David Wolfe Holocaust and Humanity Center is located inside Union Terminal.
Yes.
And that was an important transit hub in the U.S. before and during and after World War II. Help us understand, what was the experience of Holocaust survivors as they first arrived in Cincinnati?
It's almost hard to describe, and I think for each survivor, it was a different experience. And perhaps actually in a moment, Jody wants to share some of the stories that we read when we were digging through testimonies to hear about it. But many of them came here without families, without jobs, without education, not knowing what to expect. You know, they were hopeful about rebuilding a future, but not knowing anything about Cincinnati, what it had to offer, what their lives would be like here. And actually, sometimes the stories are almost a bit comical about what they expected. They had heard it was a German city, and then they came, and nobody spoke German. So I think the experiences were varied, and the road wasn't necessarily easy for all of them. Many of them became very successful contributing members of our community in incredible ways and made a lasting impact on our community. But we have to remember that only, you know, just over 70 years ago, they arrived with almost nothing at Union Terminal and rebuilt their lives here.
There are some amazing quotes. One of my favorites is, who could pronounce Cincinnati? Who could say Ohio?
Yeah.
You know, we thought we were going, you know, there are lots of things like that where they weren't aware of where they're going. Yeah. Another favorite story is from Roma Kaltman, where at first she was supposed to go to Iowa City. And she said, I was a big city girl. I was from Lodz, Poland. And Cincinnati sounded like it was a better place for us to start and rebuild our lives. But everybody's different. Everybody's experience who came through Union Terminal is different. Most people probably didn't notice the mosaics, didn't notice all the greatness of the building because they were so overwhelmed with being there and going through there. And, you know, something that's important to all of us is the fact that this is authentic space for us. We're the only Holocaust museum that has a positive, authentic relationship to the building that we're in, because this is the building where they came through to start again. So for us, that's very, very important.
And we know that 1 in 5 World War II servicemen and women came through the building as well. So there's that connection as well.
So let's bring Eddie in to talk about the actual installation and the work that went into that. Eddie, you told the Cincinnati Inquirer last month that the new exhibits there that you designed were made to speak about the Holocaust and beyond and to engage all of our shared humanity. How did you go about achieving that?
Right. Well, building on top of everything that was so well articulated by Sarah and Jody, and, you know, really is the core of what we tried to do. We do this. I mean, our niche are these stories that revolve around the Holocaust. And today, the issue that we contend with and that the team at HHC came to us with and said, you know, what can you do to make this as relevant to today as possible? We can always tell that the Holocaust history. How do we take that forward? And so the notion of a conceptual narrative that starts by making a statement, and that first statement is that everybody who walks in these doors, you're about to see a story, but we want you to know something. Choices matter. What you do in life matters. Don't think that it doesn't have meaning what you do. It does. Number one, you're about to see a story that's a very difficult story. And then we tell that story of the Holocaust. And then at the halfway point, when we finish telling that story, we've said, okay, now you've seen some very, very terrible things, radical evil. But you've also seen sparks of life. You've seen tremendous illumination of humanity. People who stood up, people who went against the tide at great expense and at perhaps the expense of their own lives and their family lives. And we ask the question, why did they do that? What is it about them? Did they get special parts? Did they have something within them that makes them special and different from the rest of us? And then we say no. They don't. We all have those qualities. How do we bring them out? And we spend the second part of the exhibition giving examples, Cincinnati examples, about people who do that so that our students and visitors will be able to relate to those examples. And then we say to them, now, when you go out into the world after you've seen this exhibition, what are you going to do? And we call that make your mark. Stand up. Do something, because it matters what you do. And that's the essence of the entire narrative. And so the rest is exhibitry, the rest is design, the rest is how physically those ideas are expressed, which is difficult, of course, verbally to try to articulate.
And we do want to get into that, Eddie. I want to talk a little bit about the actual physical implementation of this very ambitious project, this very powerful project. And I also want to talk about a little further, particularly about one local survivor who got to see the exhibit and recently passed away, as you mentioned, before we got started. And we're going to continue our conversation with Jody, Sarah, and Eddie and the Holocaust and Humanity Center after this short break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue now with our conversation about the Holocaust and Humanity Center and a new exhibit on display there. Joining us today to talk about that and more, Center Executive Director Sarah Weiss, Director of Education Jody Elowitz, and on the phone is the Holocaust Museum's conceptual designer, Eddie Jacobs. He's a partner at Barenbaum Jacobs Associates. As I was preparing for this segment, I thought back to the early 2000s when the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center was opening. And I remember hearing a local commentator saying that he expected attendance there would be low because people don't like to spend their entertainment dollars or their resources or time being depressed. But there is value in learning about our countries and our world's history, even when it makes us sad and uncomfortable. How does your organization confront that? Because it's not like the point is invalid. It is a depressing experience, but it's got to be powerful. And how do you overcome that?
I think the first thing I would say, and we can, again, each speak to this from our own vantage points, I think our approach in telling the narrative through a local lens. And in doing so, most of the stories we tell are of people who survived because those are the stories we have. So the narrative itself is a story of survival. It's a story of rebuilding, a story of resilience, a story of hope, a story of the power of the human spirit. And so I think that in itself offers us an incredible opportunity to change the conversation. While we have to also talk about what actually happened, the horrors, the reality, we can also highlight those stories of survival.
And also the way that the exhibit is set up is, we've talked about it, yes, you see the darkest part of humanity, but then you transition into the Humanity Gallery, which is about the brightest. And about humanity. I mean, in this, the Holocaust is about humanity. It's about people and what people did to other people. So I think that's something that we kept in mind, of course, as we were designing this exhibit. And Eddie can speak to that a little bit. But overall, when you come out of the experience, we hope that you see that you can make a difference.
And we've actually already heard that. We've heard that from visitors who have said, wow, I never expected to leave a Holocaust museum uplifted and feeling empowered to do something. And people are telling us that's how they feel, which is amazing because that's what our intention was, to connect the pieces. I think Eddie can speak a little bit about the from a design perspective, how art and other things played a role in making it approachable and engageable for visitors as well.
And I do want to hear that, Eddie. From a design, a conceptual design standpoint, how did you approach this?
Well, just to build upon, again, how well articulated the goals and what Sarah and Jody said about what we tried to do. So then the question is, okay, how do you make that something that people walk through rooms, galleries, and they're able to experience and acquire these ideas in a creative way. So the first thing is we try to be as creative as possible with all of the exhibitions, using a tremendous amount of art and a different kind of creativity, so that there's much less of the didactic approach that you would see in a classical museum. Here's a picture, here's a caption, here's an explanation. We did some very different kinds of things that have to be seen and have to be experienced. I think that the artifice, that notion that art that can be interpreted by different people in different ways is very important, and that there's an openness to that. And there are some very unique exhibits in that. The other thing is to allow people to be exposed to the amount that they want to be exposed to. Many of the exhibits that we have, particularly in the Holocaust Gallery, they unfold, literally speaking, mechanically. You press a button, and there's part one, and then part two unfolds like a piece of origami, and then part three appears behind that like another piece of origami, and that's something that's maintained through. And as building upon what both Sarah and Jody said so wonderfully, in the second part, it's all about illumination. In that deepest darkness, it's those sparks of light which take over. And so, in fact, you do exit, and that was the intention. If we hear when Sarah says, it's so wonderful to hear that, this visitor say, that they leave empowered, that they can do something, that it means something, what they do and how they behave in the world.
You referenced, Sarah, when you got here earlier today, that there was a survivor who relocated here to Cincinnati, got to see the exhibit as part of the exhibit, and passed away today?
Yeah, this morning.
All right, tell us about her.
Sure. Stephanie Marks, who has been a part of our organization and Speakers Bureau for many years, she actually had an incredible journey that took her thousands of miles throughout Europe, fleeing the Nazis, and she escaped on really one of the last ships out of Europe from Portugal in 1941, and happened to have family in Cincinnati who sponsored her. So she arrived with her parents at Cincinnati Union Terminal in 1941 and was surrounded by family and has been an active part of our organization, sharing her story and its lessons. It was important to her for the last year or so. She had been talking about our grand opening, that she be part of it. Her narrative is woven in throughout in many ways, the museum and her one of her most treasured items, which was a mezuzah that hung on her family's doorway. It's a beautiful piece we were able to dedicate with her 2 weeks ago. And sadly, she passed away this morning at 93 years old.
Wow.
We're, you know, deeply saddened, but also grateful that she had the opportunity to celebrate and see this opening. And as she put it, that for her mezuzah and the other items that are now displayed in the museum, that they're kind of home because that's where they first started in Cincinnati.
And Eddie, when you were working on the design of this project, how did you work with survivors like Stephanie Marks?
Well, the survivors, it's such a wonderful question. And let me just add, it's such a touching moment and the sadness of her passing and yet the celebration of her life and the way that it was lived and the fact that we captured her life as a meta-narrator through her spirit, her words, guide us through the entire exhibit. In fact, in the opening film, which sets the stage for what you will experience, she is one of the primary stars. And you remember her and you see her from the beginning and then again at the end when you leave. And the inspiration of her story and the fact that this tremendous gift that she received and which she said to us all, and what Sarah and Jody and Corey and Trinity and the team at HHC, what they gave her was the realization that her story will have tremendous impact and will resound for everyone who walks into that museum.
And even if you were a child in the era of the Holocaust and World War II, at this point, you're up there in years.
Yeah.
So we are losing that generation. Yeah. So having Stephanie's story speaks to the importance of having it before it's too late. Is there a sense of urgency among people like you in this field to collect as many of these stories as possible before it's too late?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, many places have collected stories. In Cincinnati, we've done a really good job here. But there's always more stories that we don't know. And part of putting together this museum gave us the opportunity to gather stories that we had never heard before. We found people who had come to Cincinnati who maybe ended up, you know, retiring in Florida or California or other places, but, you know, all of these stories that still have yet to be told. And we now have the opportunity in this space to continue telling not only the stories we know, like Stephanie's, but also stories of people that we don't know, who, you know, we're hoping will come forward. And they already have. People have come forward and said, oh, you know, my family went through this, and are you interested in our artifacts or in our stories? And the answer is always yes.
And it's not, I mean, it's certainly the survivors, but in addition to that, it's the World War II veterans and liberators. We just had a family this weekend who visited and saw some of their father's papers and helmet from World War II that were on display. And they sent us a message that said, you know, my sister and I, neither of us had children. We never knew who would tell Dad's story. His name was Cliff Parks, and an amazing World War II veteran. And she said, now we know his story will be told forever.
Wow. And it also should be noted that during the opening weekend, Stephanie was there with her grandchildren and her great-grandchildren and her children. Yeah. And it was really, you know, and not just Stephanie's family, but all the families of survivors who came through that first opening weekend. It was just an emotional event for all of us to see, you know, that we, all the work that we had done, you know, this is why we did it, to have these future generations with, you know, their parents and grandparents going through the exhibit together. So, you know, we think we did a really good job.
So while that does seem like a long time ago to some of us, there is still work to do today.
Yeah.
I mean, anti-Semitism was in the news for the past several days. Yeah. A Democratic congresswoman from Minnesota, Ilhan Omar, apologized after suggesting that Israel's allies and American government were motivated by money rather than principle. We also see from data compiled by the Anti-Defamation League that anti-Semitic incidents in the United States is growing significantly. It was a 60% increase in 2017 year over year, the largest single year growth since the ADL began collecting data in 1979. So while you work in a field that tells the stories of the Jewish experience, what do those data points and the news stories involving the congresswoman tell us about the state of the Jewish experience in this country today?
That's a really challenging question. And I think we're all of us knew that anti-Semitism didn't end after the Holocaust, right? The roots of it are deeply embedded all over the world and in America too. And we know it means that we have a lot more work to do, I mean, at the end of the day. And we from our educational initiatives to our programming to the conversations we have in the museum to help people understand the dangers. And you're right, we see it growing both on the left and the right in America. It's hard for the survivors in particular to see these data points. And so our obligation is to do more work, to get our lessons out there and ensure we can hopefully change the trend that we're seeing.
We've just got a couple minutes. Eddie,
Michael, definitely.
I'm
sorry. Just on that point, because this is part of the work that we do, and these are very, very difficult questions. But what has to be said is, the Jews are the canary in the cave. What begins with the Jews does not end with the Jews.
Yeah.
Hate, xenophobia, prejudice, and what results from those activities starts with the Jews. But everybody needs to look at that, because what we've understood historically is that what begins with the Jews does never end only with the Jews. And this is why anti-Semitism is a carrying call to everyone to pay attention about what's going on in our society, in civic society, and our responsibility to respond to that. And again, what we tried to do in the museum, as was so well said, is to say, you can respond to that. And you know, your response, it has an effect. Because we're today, unfortunately, not only our youth, but all of us, what does it matter what we do, what we say? Well, how can we? This is a tsunami. How do we deal with these things, with hate, with prejudice, with racism? No. No. What you do matters. That's the lesson.
Thank you for that, Edward. What are the details in terms of visiting the center? Admission costs?
Sure.
You know, what is it all about? Hours?
Sure. We're open 7 days a week, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., so all the hours that our neighbors at the Museum Center are open. Admission is general, $10, $7.50 for seniors, military members, or if you have a membership to the Museum Center, and then $5 for students all the time.
And it's at Union Terminal.
Yeah.
Everyone knows where that is.
Yeah.
Sarah, Jody, Eddie, thank you all for being here today for this discussion.
Thanks for having
us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. I'm Michael Monks. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org.